You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene. I'm Wally. I'm here solo. My homeboys, Ray Jeezy and Ice Willie T, decided to go on vacation on me and have me do the show by myself. That is terrible. If you've been following us, you know how we do. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. All right. First, we will have Mike Pierman, host of the Solon Sports Show on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia, to discuss San Francisco quarterback Colin Kaepernick sitting during the national anthem. Also, we'll have Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Washington Redskins beat writer Anthony Raposa to discuss the Washington Redskins final preseason game, which is going on now, and it's like raining like a monsoon out there in Tampa. And finally, we'll have today's fast break writer, Colby Jacobino, to discuss the possible beef between Washington Wizards, John Wall, and Bradley Beal. So you know the backcourt's beefing right now. I don't know what's going on in the DMV, but they beefing right now off some petty stuff. Now let's go to Colin Kaepernick. Last Friday, Colin Kaepernick decided to not stand during the national anthem. He decided to protest the anthem because of the recent violent actions against black people over the past couple of years. Before I get to our guests, I want to play what Kaepernick's stance was and what he said about it. And this is courtesy of NBC News. So take a listen.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now. I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
And I totally agree with Colin Kaepernick. It's not right. It's not right that cops out here killing African Americans. And I commend the dude for his stance. But right now, we have a homie of mine. He is the host of the Solon Sports Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia, Mike Pierman. Hey, Mike, what's good?
What's going on, Wally?
Oh, man.
I am finally here.
I know, right? You're here. You're in the building early.
You know what? I've always been the guy that showed up early everything. I'm never late for nothing, so it's pretty funny.
Oh, man, it's great to have you on, my man. So first off, I appreciate you. First off, what do you think of his actions, Colin Kaepernick's actions?
I don't see what the big deal is. I'm at baseball games. I'm at sporting events all the time where people don't stand up or don't take off their hats. Or, you know, if not for him being a professional athlete, professional star in the NFL, but anybody even have asked him why he was sitting down. But then the question was asked. So as far as the question was asked about his actions, I can care less that he didn't stand. I applaud him for not standing, but why he told me why he didn't stand.
So how does it, all right, so how does it make you feel when the critics call Kaepernick un-American or any other negative comments about him? How does that make you feel?
If Colin Kaepernick is un-American, then Donald Trump is un-American. If Colin Kaepernick is un-American, then Snoop Dogg is un-American. Hulk H, you know, I don't say his name any longer if you hurt my feelings, it's also un-American. Brett Favre is un-American, if that's the case. Tiger Woods cheated on his wife with a bunch of random,
you know what? Yeah.
Scallywag.
Yeah, you can say
you
that.
Know. You know, he's un-American. He's un-American because he stood for something that apparently the song that he didn't stand for says that he can do, amongst other things that represents him or says about his race and says, man, let's go to the grave, Slade.
No, yeah, so yeah, go ahead.
No, just the whole thing in itself, just it's too much to do about nothing, but a lot to do about something. And I explain that when I say that. So what did he do? There's protests all the time. People protest everything. You can protest the fact that Starbucks doesn't put enough whipped cream on top of their frozen lattes if you want to. Does that make me un-American? America says American. Dunkin' Donuts slogan is American runs on Dunkin'. You know that I don't like Dunkin' Donuts, and because of that slogan, I hate it. So they make you think that as Americans, we are fat, that we run on Dunkin' Donuts. Like, come on. I mean, what he stood for, what he said he did it for, in my opinion, you applaud him. You applaud him more than you applaud LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Voss. I mean, not Chris Voss, I'm sorry, but CP2, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I know the reason why I wanted you on the show, because you were so passionate about it, and you had some you had valid points of what you're just talking about, what you're referring to right now. So I mentioned some of his critics. Some of his peers, like Drew Brees, came out and stated that, you know, the anthem, you know, he didn't have a problem with it, but the anthem was sacred. That's a comment that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Or you had Rodney Harrison initially state that, you know, he said Kaepernick wasn't black. Now he's kind of backtracked and said he didn't know, you know, he didn't know he was black or whatever. He didn't know he had black in him or something like that. What are your thoughts about some of these players coming out talking about him to that degree?
Drew Brees came out and said his things, and former players came out, and the biggest misconception here, the biggest misnomer, is the fact that everybody thinks that it's disrespecting the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my biggest gripes with the whole entire thing, is that how is it disrespectful to the American flag? As my man once said, the Oklahoma State coach, best known for, get your facts straight! I'm a man! I'm 40! Get your facts straight! So what are you talking about here? Are we talking about the Star Spangled Banner, which is what he is protesting against, the lyrics in the song,
mm-hmm.
and what the song represents? Maybe not the lyrics in the song he's protesting. I take that back. He's protesting the fact that this song is supposed to stand and mean for America's freedom and all the things that the Star Spangled Banner stands for.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to stand for something that this country doesn't, you know, respect me and my people.
Mm-hmm.
And never once, and here are the biggest misnomers. One is that it's about the flag, and he's disrespecting the flag.
Yeah.
Because one is called the Star Spangled Banner, and one, we pledge allegiance, and that's to the flag. Okay, so two different songs, different things. The other one is that really rubbed me the wrong way, and this is where the race came in play. And lately, blacks have always been accused of being racist, as much as white people are being accused as racist. And I'm going to tell you why. The first thing that happened is, he's being called all kind of N-words. They're burning his jerseys and, this, you know, this whole thing. Where and you hear that, you see the tweets. They were all over the place. Even people of mine that are on Facebook, and I just ignore it. You know, how are you oppressed? You got $19 million. What do you mean oppressed? You're an NFL, you're a professional NFL player. You have it good. He never once again talked or spoke about himself.
Yeah.
So three big things that y'all are ridiculing this man for is he's disrespecting the flag, which he did not do.
Mm-hmm.
He's un-American because it doesn't stand for the Star Spangled Banner, when everything American says, I have that right to not stand for the Star Spangled Banner, because that's what being an American is. And then thirdly, you sit there and you criticize with your, what my man saying, Rick Flair, with your $2 shoes and your $5 haircut, and you sit back and act like you're better than me. Okay. And Colin Kaepernick never once made this about himself, people. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Right now you're listening to the Urban Sports. Right now I have my man, Mike Pierman from the Solon Sports on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Mike, so do you think that this stance will hurt his NFL career?
You know, I'm a big fan of Entourage. It's one of my favorite television shows. And Vincent Chase was the center actor in the show. And he had he made a bad movie called Medea. Those who watch Entourage who are listening to your program, I know somebody out there watched the greatest HBO show, in my opinion, in Entourage, Medellin. He said, you know what, Vince, you need to come back. He said, well, Michael, Michael Vick did. He said, well, Michael Vick had arm strength. You know what I mean? As long as this guy plays good football, he's going to always have a job. So let's think about this for a second. He didn't do nothing that Ray Rice is the poster mark for what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
There's been people that have done things worse than Ray Rice. He just was visualized so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. But other than that, people that played, people have come back. You see Harden, all the other guys who've done worse than this. Okay, so again, this is what America has its problems. One of their biggest problems, anyway. You can kill a man, you can rape a woman, you can get a DUI and still come back and have a second chance, but you can't kill a dog without getting ridiculed. So you can do all those things, but you cannot stand for what America says you can stand for, and that's to have the freedom of speech and the freedom to protest. So as long as this man can come back and play like he played a couple years ago, which I think in the system in San Francisco, which is why I believe Chip Kelly went there in the first place, mm-hmm. was to have that kind of a quarterback, then he will play as long as he can continue to perform. That simple. And I honestly, I go back to the University of Nevada when I first got introduced to him because I'm a Notre Dame fan and he carved us apart. I knew all about Colin Kaepernick for 2 years before he got to the NFL because what he did to Notre Dame, I followed him.
Yeah, well,
he can play.
He's a talented brother.
He can play. He can play. And people don't understand that he got hurt. The team got imploded from inside
mm-hmm.
with the organization. People don't talk about that. He's the lame duck to the situation of a bad situation. So it's not that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have the talent. He's gone through what certain quarterbacks go through and certain teams go through. Everybody doesn't have the luxury of having one coach for 15 years like Peyton Manning, you know?
Ain't that the truth. Peyton Manning's a blessed individual. So what have you learned from this situation? Let's say from the have you learned from the American people, the United States of America, in terms of our country, when this situation has arisen, and we see, we see the trolling, we see some of the for him and against them type of comments. What comes to mind when you put all that in a melting pot? What comes to mind?
I look at America for the same reason what he spoke about, the same things that Muhammad Ali spoke about 40, 50 years ago, Malcolm X spoke about, Dr. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks. And I'm going to put him there because what those other individuals brought, knowing that even though he's not an activist, he's just a guy who plays a sport, who stood for something that he believed in, which he publicized on all his social media repeatedly about when situations happen in this country, that America hasn't learned from itself. America tried to tell me and tried to say that we're still better off. You know what? Yes, I am better off than I was 25 years ago as a black man in this country. But you know what? I went from being the second minority in this country to the least minority in this country. And you can sit there and blame it on black on black crime all you want to. And yes, a lot of that does contribute to being us on our own. But people have to understand we've been programmed and we have been put in a bad situation for the last 50, 60, 70, 200 plus years. So you can keep saying you're America, you're trying to be better. You can keep saying America, you're trying to be great. But America has yet to give me the window, the opportunity to have the same opportunity as little Johnny. So until I can get the same treatment as little Johnny, then Jerome, Nook Nook, Prenup, rest in peace, Stuart Scott, and Mike Knox and Wally won't have that same opportunity.
That's eloquently spoken, my man. That was eloquently spoken. So, Mike, real quick, before we're about to go to break, can you tell folks about your show and also how can they reach you on social media?
At Mike Pierman underscore senior on Twitter. Follow Snapchat because I can do things on there I can't do publicly.
I don't get on Snapchat. How does that work, man? Someone got to school me to Snapchat.
I didn't understand it at first either. And then Instagram came, I kind of got happy. And then once I did the Instagram stories, I said, you know what? Nah, I'm just my Snapchat. I'm not an Instagram story guy. I like my Snapchat. But make sure you every day, Monday through Friday, Fox Sports Radio 1340am.com. And most importantly, you can just go. You got iTunes, you got Stitcher, whatever podcast or so we're available. Just look up BDSIR Network, which stands for the best damn show in radio. And as my man David Otunga would say, just Google me, Mike Knox with three X's, and you'll know all there is to know about me, and I'll welcome you in.
And I must say it's a great show because I'm one of the Untouchables on the show, and it's a great show.
Yes, you are.
It's an awesome show. Mike does a great job, man. Hey, Mike, man, I appreciate you, man, for being on the show. Hopefully we'll have you again, man. We can talk some Ultimate Fighting. Oh, no, yeah, UFC, because you guys, you got to school me to that. You know, we usually don't cover UFC.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good show.
All right, man. Stay blessed.
All right.
That was my man, Mike Knox. Well, Mike Pierman. We don't call him Mike Knox anymore. We call him Mike Pierman. Mike, man, again, that was Mike. Mike Pierman from the Soul and Sports radio show on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Again, I'm also on that show. I'm one of the Untouchables, and we have a good time. We're on from Monday through Friday, 5 to 7, like Mike said, on Fox Sports Radio, Hopewell, Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. You got to check it out. It's a great show. So make sure you definitely check it out and hit us up. Anyway, man, the Redskins are playing their final preseason game right now. We'll have Anthony Raposa also from Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM to discuss the possible cuts. It's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Doses.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
One of my favorite songs. I love me some BYB, man. Backyard Band, Adele remix. You know what I mean? That is one of the best little go-go remixes period out there, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm so sorry about what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. Anyway, man, you're listening to the Urban Sports. Say, I'm Wally. Like I told you before, the rest of my team isn't in on vacation. But you know, that's what we do. We give them a vacation here and there. So hopefully I'll have my vacation and I can take that nice little break. But also check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We will be battling them with NFL picks every week. So you make sure you check them out and check out the show. You know, you last year, I believe he came up on the winning side. Could be wrong. Could be just me, you know, hyping it up. But also make sure you hit us up on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. So you make sure you tweet us. We'll have a lot to tweet about. But, again, right now the Washington Redskins are up 3-0. We're going to break and we're going to get back with Anthony. It was the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. All right, I'm so sorry about that. We had audio issues, but we're back. We're back from break again. We have Redskins beat writer Anthony Raposa from Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia, to discuss the game and some Redskins cuts that could be happening after this game. Anthony?
How's it going?
Everything is good, Anthony. So far, the Redskins are up 3-0 in this game, this Buccaneers game. So far, what's your thoughts of this game?
The run game looks really good. Looks like Mac Brown is going to give the coaching staff and Scott McLuhan a tough decision on if the team should keep four running backs or just go with three. Right now, he's making a strong case, though.
So what would be your gut instinct on that? Because obviously it's raining, so that is kind of cool that he's running tough in bad weather, which you know that's a good thing for running backs. But what's your gut feeling? Think he makes a team?
My gut feeling is they still end up going with three running backs.
Okay.
Just because I think they're going to go three quarterbacks. And at that point, it's really hard. You know, you got the three positions that they're still kind of, and up in the air is really, is the team going to keep three quarterbacks? Are they going to keep four tight ends? Are they going to keep four running backs? So there's going to be a good player in that mix that's not going to make the team, that the team's going to have to hope that they're able to snag, on the practice squad. Mac Brown was the guy that was on the practice squad last year. So my gut feeling would be that he ends up returning back to the practice squad this year. He could be a guy that ends up being put on that emergency list that the team has if they need to call somebody. But at this point, I still think they end up keeping three running backs for now.
All right, cool.
To me, the hardest decision would be, it would be hard for me to see them getting rid of a Nate Sudfeld and taking the risk of putting him on waivers and then him getting picked up by another team. So, you know, at that point, a quarterback is a more valuable position and a lot harder to find than a running back. So it would make a lot more sense for them to not get cute with Sudfeld and then, seeing if they're able to pick up Mac Brown, if he's able to clear waivers.
So speaking, you're naming some guys who really need a good showing to make this team. You're talking about Mac Brown. Who, and we talked about this on Twitter as well, who needs a good showing in this game to make this team?
There's multiple guys. You could go on the defensive line to, like, defensive end Anthony Lanier. You could look at the receiving position for guys like Maurice Harris, Rashad Ross. Those are two guys, obviously, Mac Brown. Nate Sudfeld's not guaranteed, even though I think he will make it. He still needs to go out there and have a strong performance, especially if he's getting the full game. So there's definitely guys that are still in the mix. They have a lot riding off this game. For them, it's unfortunate the circumstances of what the game is being played in, because it's kind of hard to evaluate guys when you're playing in a stadium that the city is currently under a state of emergency.
I know. I can't believe they're even playing this game, to be honest with you. But I guess to play on the other side, some of these guys definitely need this time so they can have the opportunity to make the team. Maybe they can wow the coaches. So, just stick with the whole weather theme. How does this hurt somebody? Because I know we've discussed it before, like a wide receiver, like a Rashad Ross. How does this hurt his chances of making the team?
Well, just because of the fact that how often is Nate Sudfeld really going to be able to get him the ball?
Yeah.
You know, as the game goes on, the ball is going to get heavier. It's going to be a lot harder for him to catch the ball for obvious reasons, because the ball is slippery. It's going to be harder for him to get out of his breaks because of the playing surface. And the rain is coming down really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at this point, you know, if you're in his shoes, you got to hope that everything that you've done prior to this has been enough to show the coaches something. And, you know, as an athlete, you know, you have to play with that mindset that you're only going to get one opportunity, and you got to make every opportunity count, you know. And if you came into this, you know, saying, well, I'm going to have four games to prove something, then maybe that wasn't the right mindset to have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was every opportunity that you get, you got to make the most of it. So for some of these guys who may not get, you know, the greatest opportunity because of the weather, they just got to hope and pray that everything they did before this, they were able to make count.
I agree. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene. Right now I have Anthony Raposa from Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. He's the Redskins, Washington Redskins beat writer. Where were you? Because I was kind of surprised that it happened this early. Were you surprised that Perry Riley and D lineman Stephen Paya were cut
this early? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it makes sense, you know. And I had actually said this to someone on Twitter who was asking about the timing as well. If the team has already made the decision early on that they were not going to keep them no matter what, then really they were wasting each other's time.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you cut them this early, you're giving them an opportunity to get picked up by somebody else, as opposed to cutting them later, and now you're kind of limiting their opportunities, perhaps. So I think if they were on that same page already that it was going to happen, I think it was going to do it now. And on top of that, you know, they saved, I want to say it was like close to $15 million in cap space between the two. So that gave them a little bit of extra money to play with if a team releases a guy that could be attractive later on for them to pick up. So I guess you could say that it was a little bit of a surprise because of who they were, because they were noticeable names. But really, when you stop and think about it, it makes sense.
So how would you, I mean, the Redskins just signed, they signed Cullen Jenkins, to a vet deal. How do you feel that's going to pan out? And how much, and I'm not even sure, I'm just watching the game. Has he gotten any work so far in this preseason game?
I haven't seen him, because I stepped out, just because I have two little kids and I don't want them in the background screaming and stuff like that. So, but from the time that I've seen, he wasn't. But it is still early, and with Cullen Jenkins, you really just got to go in with the expectation pretty low. We're talking about a guy who was later on in his career, and you know, at this point, just needed somewhere to play, so he got picked up on a vet minimum. So I don't see him as someone that's going to go in there and necessarily push for a starting job. But I think that he gives good veteran leadership in the locker room, perhaps, and someone that is you know, offers some good depth and experience.
How would you say that for him? Because I'm always interested when it comes to the Redskins nose tackle situation. There isn't other, you know, to me, there's not a legitimate nose tackle on the team right now.
Right.
Do you feel that he can slide into that role if they can get, not just say they can get the Cullen Jenkins who played for the Giants or even back, even when he played for the Packers. Well, that's when he was in his prime, when he played for the Packers. We're talking about a Kelvin Jenkins, slightly, you know, I'm going to say done, but slightly below that. But if they can get somebody who can hold a couple blocks, do you think that's possible?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything is possible. I mean, it's the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything is possible. But it's really hard for me just to see that. A lot of fans probably don't want to hear this, but it probably looks like Cedric Golson's going to end up holding that
wow.
position.
Okay.
I was hoping to see a little more from Matt Ioannidis, who at this point has kind of found himself on the roster bubble. Mm. It was a guy that some people, when he got drafted, looked at him as someone that could eventually be a starter down the road. But from what I was seeing at training camp and up until this point, Ioannidis just hasn't shown me enough to make me think that is something, you know, that's going to end up happening in the future. Obviously it could, but I saw a lot of one-on-one work with him, more so than with the other rookies, which probably wasn't a good sign. You know, he was needing some extra coaching. Now that's not to say that he can't develop into anything, but he's a guy that could show up as a guy who gets cut. That may surprise a lot of people, especially because, you know, we all know how good of a GM Scott McLuhan is and the great things that he's able to do in the draft. But anytime you see a guy that he drafts get cut, you know, it may surprise some people. So I think he's a name on there that may kind of surprise some people.
All right, real quick. So I know your time is very short with us, and I appreciate you being on even with the technical difficulties. Do you think, put it this way, I'm going to phrase it correctly. What are the chances, in your opinion, not what the organization says, in your opinion, that Josh Dotson suits up for week one?
I would say very, very slim.
Okay.
I don't think it's at the point where he gets put on the pup and misses, you know, 6 weeks or anything like that. I don't have any direct information as far as, like, when he's going to get in. At this point, I don't think anybody does. Mm-hmm. I think it is legitimate day-to-day. And it's really hard for me to imagine him, you know, we're talking about less than 2 weeks from now, him suiting up and getting on the field. It's going to be close. But I think it's a lot more realistic to expect him to get out there, you know, week two or three. But the good news is the Redskins don't necessarily have to rush him in there. You know, look at the depth that's at receiver. So I don't think it would be smart to necessarily push him out there. He re-injures it, now he's out for the year. I wouldn't put him out there until I know he's 100% good to go. I just don't see that being week one.
Okay, so Anthony, before I let you go, how can folks reach you on social media?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is at Anthony Raposa. That's ANTHONYRAPOSA. And my main focus is on Twitter. But you can check out my articles from Fox Sports 1340 AM and Hopewell up on the website. I do daily articles, and I also do work with USA Today's media group, Redskins Wire. You guys can check out all of those links and articles right up there on my Twitter.
Okay, cool. And tell Lake I said what's up, because Lake worked right that same. Yeah, tell him I said what's up.
Yeah, absolutely. Will do. All right, man.
All right, you take it easy. Stay blessed. Thanks again, Anthony.
Okay. All right. Take care.
All right, take care. All right, that was Anthony Raposa, again, from Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Great writer, and he has great insight on the Washington Redskins. He covers the team, and I'm with Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM as well, and, you know, it's a blessing to have him on the team. Anyway, it's about time for another break. When we get back from break, I have this question, for the people and the masses. Is Breland and Josh Norman the best cornerback tandem in the NFL? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strast.
I I seen your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, that was the aforementioned Rashad Ross. Anthony talked about him earlier, about his chances making the team. I hope that the kid makes the team. Rashad Ross, to me, is a playmaker. Is a guy that every time he steps on the field, he makes big plays. Again, I really want to see that guy on the team. Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Again, I guess I'm the host. I don't like using the term host, cause my two homies aren't here, Will T and Ice, Ice Willie T, that's what I call them, and my man Ray Jeezy, they're both not here, but again, I hope to have them back next week, and we can start doing the darn thing how we usually do it as a unit, a team. We call it the three-man weave, the Urban Sports Saying. But, I was over the weekend, last week was Friday, I was lucky to cover the Redskins Buffalo Bills, game. It was the third preseason game, the dress rehearsal. I got an opportunity to interview cornerbacks Breshad Breeland and Josh Norman, and we talked about how good this tandem can be. So take a listen. First, we have Breeland. Second, we have Josh Norman. So take a listen.
What are your goals for this season?
My goal is to help my team win any way possible and beat the number one corner in the league. That's what I'm trying to do.
What do you think the tandem of you and Breeland can do with the season? What is it compared to?
I don't know, man. We got a long way to go. But we gave a little preview of that, what can happen. But we just got to keep practicing, keep, getting better in ourselves. And really got to continue to elevate just as well as I do, because I got to practice every day on, certain things that I need to work on just as much as he do. So I think we can be a formidable talent, one of the top ones here. I mean, as you saw today, we gave you a little glimpse of that. So we just continue to keep balling, man. Keep playing, trusting each other in our techniques and what coaches ask of us.
I call it the Ray Lewis fire. It seems like on every play you had that Ray Lewis fire. Explain
man,
that, man.
Because you hear all the white noise and the trolls and the sharks all week, man. It's just like so much that goes through your mind. You hear it. I mean, we human. You know, it ain't like you don't see it or hear it. Do I respond to it? No. But boy, I don't have to. I mean, obviously they trying to come and reach something that they can't touch. And it's just like, okay, well, dang. Why even, comment on it? So, I mean, it's something that happened like months ago, and I was in a different space and time than I was and I am now, So I just look at it as, okay, you can talk about me. Yeah, you can assault me. You can even assault my dog, Yoshi. I really don't care, but when it comes to this ball, I do that. That's what I do. I do that. I live that. I mean, that's every day and night. That's my girlfriend, wife, fiance, whoever you want to call it. That's what I am. God, La Familia, and ball, man. Nothing more, nothing less.
Man, you heard what Josh Norman. I mean, the dude is a soundbite ready to happen. That's what I do. You can talk about his dog, Yoshi. Yoshi, man. The dude got a dog named Yoshi. That dude is something. But again, man, I agree with him. I think, as long as Breeland and him can work hard, they work hard in their craft, they're, to me, they could definitely be the best cornerback tandem in football. I don't think if you look at what the Redskins have now, they don't have safeties in the back end compared to somebody, a team or a unit like the Seattle Seahawks. But you look at these two dudes, they're physical. They compete on every play. I know a lot, like last season, a lot of people get on how they got on how Breeland got beat bad against Odell Beckham in game one, between the first game of the two games against the Giants. But if you looked at how he performed against Odell Beckham Jr. the second time around, he pretty much, when he was on Odell Beckham Jr., he pretty much shut him down. And then you tail that in with Josh Norman, you got two guys who compete, who can get into the opposition's head and play at a high level. So when I look at those two individuals, I see a tandem that's dangerous. I see one of the better tandems of all of the NFL, and it's the Washington Redskins. A lot of people won't give them the respect, but when you look at it, who can really compete? We've seen every season that Breshad Breeland has gotten better every year. Team that with Josh Norman, who gets better every year. You got guys who are young in the game, who compete, play physical, and that's what when you look at other teams and you envy other situations, you always look out and say, you know what? I've always wanted a physical, grinded cornerback who's going to be in your face and not be scared of the situation. You got that with Breland and Josh Norman. So I think they can definitely be one of the better tandems. I put this on Facebook, and one of my on our Facebook page, you had Mark Hanna said absolutely he believes that they have the potential to be the best tandem in the NFL, and I totally agree. And I've been stating this. My girl Lynn said she mentioned David Amerson. She would love to have David Amerson on the same team as well. And actually, Mark said the same thing. I agree. I like David Amerson, who now plays for the Oakland Raiders. I thought David Amerson had a bunch of potential. He was definitely a cornerback who had playmaking ability, in my opinion. Well, I appreciate you, Joyce, man. My man Joyce tweeted us at Urban Sports, and he tweeted us, "I'm enjoying Breland and Norman sound at Urban Sports, but best corner tandem. Let's just slow down a bit." Hey, George, man, it can happen. They could be the best cornerback tandem in the NFL. But yeah, I definitely see it. I see that this team, they don't have the safety play. A lot of these other, you know, teams have the safety play, but these guys, to me, have their own little island, and they can do some damage. If the pass rush is respectable, this team, and that unit, could be something special, especially the secondary, could be something special, if D Hall becomes that ball hawking, safety, team that with Norman and Breland. Oh, it could definitely be something special. But anyway, we're about to go to another commercial break. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about the Washington Wizards, John Wall and Bradley Beal beefing. We'll discuss that. It's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
I go and look at a stone cutter hammering away at his rock. Perhaps 100 times. Without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it was split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Show me what you work with. So good. Feel that lap dance. I'm in that white coat, chase a pack, man. 100 out of the lot. I be leaning, that's a rock. 100 laws, bring a mop. Car, send it like a box. Got a brain struck in my pocket. 30 chains on my collar. Two drops, no matter. Top off like Wallace, and I'm a hell smoke. Know that. Feel the rich before that.
My life a godfather picture. Local club in my city. I fell in love with a stripper. No, I'm that top talking photo Bugatti. I'm the life of the party. Let's get these seats on the molly. You know I can't stack. So drop that. I got what you want. Drop that. Film it.
I love that song. Pop that. It's an awesome song. I mean, it's good for, I'm not going to try to say that. I was about to say something bad. I can say it. It's good for like strip club music, real, to be honest with you, from the last time I've been in a strip club, like a while ago. Great song. Take my word for it. Not lying. PG-13. I can say that. It's like PG-13. People know about strip clubs. I'm not worried about that. Anyway, you're listening to Urban Sports Today. I'm Wally. My boys, Will T and Ray Jeezy, aren't in today. Vacation, but they'll be back next week. So we'll have them. We'll have a 3-man weave all back in the building. Anyway, we have Kobe Jacobino from today's Fast Break to talk Washington Wizards, especially this so-called friction, aka beef, with John Wall and Bradley Beal. I cannot believe it. Hey, Kobe.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on? How you doing today, my man?
You good.
So, Kobe, really, though, John Wall, Bradley Beal really beefing now? Really?
Hey, man, you know, I'm kind of torn between this whole situation. I got kind of two sides of the story. I mean, you know, it's not far-fetched to see, you know, two players on the same team kind of button heads for who wants more, you know, power, the ball more, what have you. We see that every year with pretty much every team. But, you know, my only argument against that is I don't think Bradley Beal is really in the position to say the things that he did say. Mm-hmm. For instance, that he's an alpha male.
Yeah.
That, you know, he wants to be the guy. You could see a similar situation in Toronto with Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, or in Golden State with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. You know, those elite backcourts, and there's a couple more, but if one of those two guys said it, okay, because they both hold their own weight. But, you know, to me, Bradley Beal hasn't proven that he can be a consistent, player simply because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really off base for him to come out and say that. Now, in my opinion, John Wall can say whatever he wants because he is the guy that makes his team go. But it frustrated me a little bit that I like the confidence that Bradley Beal has, but I think he's the type to carry that over into his play on the court. John Wall forgets about that stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, and actually you segued to what I wanted to play this audio clip, what you're referring to, what, you know, Bradley Beal has spoken for the people for our listeners who don't know the situation, what Bradley Beal said about being an alpha dog and John Wall. And I felt like John Wall wasn't being a jerk about it. He said that, you know, he would like to have Bradley Beal, you know, get to an all-star team. So, but I'm going to play that audio real quick. This is John Wall and Bradley Beal. This is courtesy, actually, of Comcast Sportsnet. So, take a listen to what Bradley Beal and John Wall had to say.
We have our tendencies where we just like each other on the court, going vice versa. I think at the same time, you got to be able to put that to the side. Once I argue with somebody, I'm cool, I'm passing. I'm back to playing basketball. And I think at times, you just got to understand, now you have your money, you don't have to go out there and prove anything. I want you to be an all-star just as much as I'm all-star.
It's tough because we're both alphas. Mm-hmm. And we're both alphas, you know. So it's always tough when you have two guys who firmly believe in themselves, who will bet on themselves against anybody else, and, you know, who want to be that guy, you know. But we both can be that guy. And sometimes I think we both lose sight of the fact that we need each other.
And I'm with you, Kobe, too. And that's what rubs me the wrong way. It's like, when I'm looking at Bradley Beal, what have you accomplished yet? You know what I mean? He's had a good run in the postseason. Speaking as if he was Klay Thompson. I guess I really digged your point. Speaking as if you're Klay Thompson. Speaking as if you're, you know, some of the, like if you're trying to think of another, DeRozan and even Lowry. Like you're DeRozan. You haven't even accomplished being a consistent all-star yet. You haven't been an all-star at all. And you haven't even dropped 20 points a game in the regular season yet. So for him to kind of talk about himself that way, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, especially looking at John Wall, a guy that we all know, and I think all Wizards fans can say this, he's carried this team. He's carried this Wizards organization, and he's worked hard on both ends of the court. I don't care what anybody tells me. And he's reliable. He plays injured. So when you look at a Bradley Beal stating that the alpha dog, to me, you should know your role. And this, I know it sounds jacked up to say it, but you're Robin to his Batman. There's no two alpha dogs about it. You're Robin to his Batman.
I completely agree. And like you said, there's absolutely no argument, against that. And now, you know, he did have that good postseason run, a couple of years ago. And then last season, you know, in the first five games, I think he was averaging 25. He was a top five scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after that, his sixth game, you know, he had that shoulder injury against the Hawks. And then here we go again, the same old story. And, you know, the other thing that needs to be squashed too is this whole thing around, because there was a quote in there that John said about, you know, well, you got your money, so now let's, you know, now you got to step up to the plate. And everybody always is bringing up how John is always bringing up money. Whether, you know, he said something about Reggie Jackson, last summer with his contract. Then he said this with Bradley Beal, and then he also made a comment about James Harden getting his extension. And like you said, Wally, if he was concerned about money, he would not be playing battered and almost broken last season trying to get this team to the playoffs. He would keep his health, mm-hmm. and he would sit on the sidelines and collect his checks. Yeah. But no, I never have questioned that with John Wall, man. I've always said, without John Wall, this team is equivalent to the 76ers because he literally makes everything on this team go.
So, you know, I think this whole beef, when we look back on it in a month or two from now, once training camp's over, we're about to start the regular season, it'll be just a little blip, or it has the ability to, you know, if they get off to a slow start, Bradley Beal's not picking up his end of the, you know, his end of the workload. I'm kind of scared that, you know, John might start searching otherwise, and he should. He's entering the prime of his career, and he's one of the elite point guards in the game, and it's just being wasted right now, pretty much.
And do you feel that John Wall has the right to be, and this is a slang term, does he have the right to feel salty?
To feel salty, you said? About what?
Salty about if there was beef, because I don't think John Wall's really beefing. I think people are kind of blowing that up. But I think he just stated the facts. I mean, they asked the question, he just stated it. That, you know, you don't get along with everybody at certain times in the game. You may be difference of opinion. But do you feel that he has the right, you know, does he have the right to feel salty? Cause I kind of do. I think he should feel salty about the money. I actually think he should feel salty about the money.
Oh yeah. And I mean, trust me, that it's just a whole timing thing of when he signed his contract. You know, if he was on the market this summer or even next summer, you and I both know he would get a huge maximum deal.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? It was just one of those things where it's a timing thing. And when he made the comment about Jackson, you know, last year, it was already hinting towards that salary cap rise. You know, it did rise a little bit last summer as well. So that's why Jackson got that much. But, you know, he's just bringing stuff in perspective. I can see how people take that the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the only time you really hear John Wall in the headlines is when he's saying something. They always try to make it negative. They don't bring out that, oh, he just won, you know, the award for the player in the community.
Yeah.
That he's helping out all these kids in Washington, giving all this money to all, you know, these foundations. He's not worried about money, but it's just like anybody in work. If you are considered elite and you are getting paid as an average person at your same position, of course you're going to feel some type of way. You know what I mean? But his time's going to come when he becomes a free agent. I believe it's in the next 2 years. And he'll get his money. But for now, I see John Wall focus strictly on the playoffs, you know, trying to get this team back to the playoffs and trying to make a run as far as they can.
Right now, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I got my man Kobe Jacobino from today's Fast Break. Kobe, he mentioned John Wall, mentioned Bradley Beal, you know, wanting Bradley Beal to make an all-star team like him. What could Bradley Beal do to make that happen?
I mean, you gotta look back at how he started the season last season. Like I said, in the first five games, averaged 25 points per game. He was aggressive. He was really a lot more focused on not only, you know, trying to get his shot off from beyond the arc, but he put a lot of emphasis on, you know, getting that pump fake, attacking the closeout and attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line. That was the big thing, especially last media day. That he said over and over to us. He said, you know, I want to get to the free throw line about five or six times a game because it's free points. You know, he is a great free throw shooter. So I think it's just that. But, you know, the obvious answer is just stay healthy. I think if he can stay healthy, he can be considered at least a top 10 shooting guard in the league and then, you know, flirting around the top five part. But the fact of the matter is he can't stay healthy, and that's the most important contribution that a player can bring to a team.
Yeah, definitely. Dependability is one of the more important things. I think people kind of forget about that. Being able to depend on a teammate, either that's to perform or health, is something very important. So, Kobe, how can folks reach you on social media? And tell folks how they can read some of your articles, period, on any different venue or site or whatnot.
Yeah, so I mean, you can follow me on on Twitter at Kobe Jacobino. If you need help with that, which you probably do with the spelling, just look at Wally's Twitter and he'll, you know, I'm on there. But then otherwise, you can find all my Wizards related content on today's Fast Break. I'm also, you know, I also do some general NBA coverage for Hoops Habit. So yeah, definitely check out those two sites. Got plenty of basketball coming up. We're in the dead period right now. But, you know, we're soon to be out of that and back to some, you know, nonstop content. So definitely check that out.
And I've seen you're doing some radio stuff too now. Like I've seen some other, like you've been on radio shows and whatnot.
Yeah. The local stuff around, you know, in Maryland, the fan station, you know, they had me on as a,
NBA analysis, pretty much covering the whole league. We cover a little bit of Wizards since they're the closest thing to Baltimore here.
Awesome.
But yeah. So, you know, I'm grateful for that and grateful for being on the show as well.
I appreciate you, Kobe, man. Good things happen to good people, man. You stay blessed. I'm going to try to have you on again, and we'll see you in the Wizards during the Wizards season as well, okay?
Hey, man, you know, anytime you need me, I'm here.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you. That's Kobe Jacobino from Today's Football. Today's Fast Break. Kobe's an awesome dude. I appreciate him. He's always supporting the show, and he does great work. He's actually had some posts on our Urban Sports Scene podcast show. Urban Sports Scene blog site. And also he's done work for Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hope, Virginia. So hopefully we'll have him back, during the Wizards season. I know Kobe's really busy, so it's hard to kind of, get him, but Kobe's one of those treasured, one of those blessed individuals who has a gift of covering a sports team like the Washington Wizards and writing. So, yeah, Kobe, all praise to you, my man. Anyway, man, I want to thank Mike, Kobe, who I'm missing, Anthony. You all are loved. Much appreciated, man. Anyway, listen to us next week. It's the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig, deuces. Hey, Mega, can you do me one quick favor, homie? Lead us out, my man.